Welcome, comedy fans, to an all-new Comedy at the Carlson Cast. Get more information and subscribe at carlsoncast.com. Today's very special episode, episode number 100. Our guest is... who's the guest, though? Okay, I guess it's Vinny Paulino, everybody! Okay, of course, today's episode is brought to you by Sapori Cafe and Catering, Rochester's favorite spot for lunch and any of your catering needs. Find them on Facebook and Instagram, at Sapori Rochester. Also, Three Heads Brewing, the makers of Rochester's favorite beer. Remember, do good things and also be kind. And now, here's your guest slash host, Mr. Vinny Paulino, everybody. He's going to interview himself.
My time is now, Ross. My time is now.
I can feel it.
Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. Here we go.
Put it in, coach.
It's the Carlson Cast. Yeah.
No.
I don't know sports metaphors.
No,
I'm sorry.
No.
Coach Wilson, how could you?
No.
Ross, did you play Little League?
I mean, what's your definition of play? Like on the field? Or?
Well, I'm uncomfortable. I am very uncomfortable, and I have a feeling that Brian Ball has plans to make sure that I stay that way the rest of this episode.
Yes.
It is the Comedy at the Carlson Cast. Some old business before we get to the pressing matters at hand. We apologize to you folks for last week's episode. It took us so long to get out. We had a major problem with our board in the middle of the show. You may or not have been able to tell, but it has been replaced. We have a brand new one. We are up and running, and Cam is back there working very hard to not screw up again. Right, Cam?
Sure.
That's what we need. Some Cam do attitude.
No.
This is not a good sales pitch to come see me tonight, huh?
This show is not starting off well.
Well, it's our 100th episode, though. We can at least be sentimental about that for a minute.
Yes, we can. We've had some amazing guests and great times.
I was talking to somebody yesterday. They asked me who my favorite guest was on the show, and I had to really think about it because we've had some really amazingly cool stories from some people, and then some comics are just way cooler to hang out with than others. It's really strange, but I'll tell you what, my favorite episode I think we did was with Colin Quinn.
I would say the same thing.
You get to hear the story about how he ruined Robert De Niro's 60th birthday party.
Yes.
That's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean,
which guest did you hate?
And we got the extended version.
The guest that I hate the most, today's.
Sure.
Today's. Yeah, definitely. Today's. Yeah.
I'm so sad.
We haven't even finished it yet, and I already know.
Okay, so here's what happened, right? Michelle Wolf's going to be here this weekend.
Yes.
Okay. They said to me, hey, Michelle Wolf's canceling Friday.
She had a conflict.
You're up, dude. And I was like, what? And that was a week ago.
Me?
I was so happy. Yeah. But now I am terrified.
Oh,
and so we still have to do an episode today. And I figured, you know, it's the 100th episode. We still have to do something. And so what we decided to do was to flip the couch, flip it around a little bit. And I'm going to let Ross sit in my seat today.
No, nice. I'm sitting in your seat.
And I will not allow that.
I'm not doing it.
You're going to go home?
I'll go home. I'll go home. If I'm not in that chair, I'll go home.
He thinks it's his time to shine.
It's Cam's time to shine.
You get to headline. I get your chair.
I love Brian's idea of
that's
a punishment.
How it works.
I know.
Give me what I want, or I will leave.
Yeah.
Sure taught us a lesson, didn't they?
It's Madeleine Albright here negotiating with the Palestinians.
Listen to this little jerk with his ball. I'm going to go home.
I've got all the questions. I've got everything written down. I've prepared for this.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we'll find out what happens with that. Let me remind you guys about a couple of things that are going on at Comedy at the Carlson. We have a really exciting show coming up tonight on Halloween, actually. Coming up Halloween, we are doing it. Hit my computer, Cam. Oh, if only things would play. Coming up one night only on Halloween, we have our friends. Who's walking in here talking?
Mark.
Oh, hi, Mark.
He's allowed to.
Yeah, he's allowed to. Drag at the Carlson is happening on Halloween.
Yes.
We are very, very excited
I'm going to be there for that.
I know you are. I hear you are going to be busting out your best costume.
I am. I'm quite proud of it.
Well, either way, it's starring Darian Lake, Miss Kasha Davis, and Aggie Dune. It's going to be a good
Kasha
time.
Davis.
Miss Kasha Davis.
Mrs.
Kasha Davis. I'm
Jesus
sorry.
Christ.
I'm a heathen. I'm sorry. Oh, forgive me. Either way, there's a costume contest. So wear your best costume. There's prizes for the top three. You get your tickets now at carlsoncomedy.com. You can take it off of that. Beautiful. So those are the things that are going on next week for Halloween. We got Michelle Wolf tomorrow night. We got me tonight. It's going to be a cool week at Comedy at the Carlson. So Carlson Comedy for your tickets. And we have a couple other shows coming up we're going to tell you about. And then I guess we're going to play some hot seats.
Interrogate Vinny.
Yeah.
We're going to spin some tunes.
I should probably say that the text line is going to be open too.
Yes, yes.
It's open. So if you want to text your questions in.
Yes.
It's a 585-484-0265.
The weirder and more uncomfortable, the better. Thank you, people.
All right.
Get out the hot lights.
We'll be back in a minute. This will be terrible for me.
Hey, everybody. Got lots of cool shows coming up here at Comedy from Carlson. Go to carlsoncomedy.com to check out our schedule. We have this very evening, Vinny Paulino, October 25th. And October 26th, tomorrow night, Michelle Wolf. Not many tickets left for that one. We have Rocky Laporte, November 1st and 2nd. And on November 2nd, we have Sky Sands in the Rickles Room. November 7th through the 9th, Bobby Slayton. Very happy to have him back. And November 8th, one night only, also in the Rickles Room, Mike Racine. November 14th through the 16th, Gary Goleman. And November 21st through the 23rd, Vicky Barbalak. And as is tradition, Dr. Dirty John Valby on November 27th, Thanksgiving Eve. Friend of the show, Chris Allen, November 29th through the 30th. And Chris Frangiola on December 5th through the 7th. December 12th through the 14th, Pete Corelli. And December 19th through the 21st, April Macy. And Rich Voss, December 26th through the 28th. Tim Meadows, January 2nd through the 4th. Come out and see us at the show. We'll all be there. Go to carlsoncomedy.com or call 5854-COMEDY for your tickets. Hey, everybody. It's me, Brian. I'm sitting in the cool chair now. I feel arrogant and angry. I feel kind of powerful. Our guest today is our Lord and Imperator, Vinny Paulino, everybody. I know, no, I'm the only one that claps.
Not a thing.
I have the fewest reasons to clap for you, and I'm the only person that did clap.
Ross is clapping right now.
Yeah, but very slow. That's a sarcastic clap.
It's not sincere.
That's not a genuine
clap. You said Imperator.
You know, I love everybody.
So tonight.
Oh, dude.
Tonight.
Dude, don't get me started. I'm terrified, Brian.
Why are you terrified?
Because this is a big deal.
I will skip ahead. This was going to be one of our last questions, but our good friend Mike Danberg did ask. The question that he sent me was, are you ready?
Am I ready?
Yeah.
No. You know what I am? Here's what I am. I am the guy who's been waiting to do this. I've been waiting for this opportunity. You know this for a very, very long time.
Yeah, yeah.
And now that it's here, I gotta deliver, and so I have a ton of pressure on me for that. That's how I feel, if you're asking me for real.
I'm gonna say you'll be fine and you won't believe me.
Right.
But you'll be fine.
Do you get into that headspace where you just don't want to do it now?
A little bit.
So what's the
you're hoping for a hurricane?
Well, dude, here's the thing though.
Like if my liver would just explode right now,
Ross,
I'll be fine.
Like right, if my appendix grew back
and
went bad again,
and burst,
I'd feel better.
Yeah. Yep.
But it's one of those things where like I'm getting messages from people in my family who I never thought would come out and see me, like aunts. And stuff like that. So it's like,
I should say it's actually.
I hope they like the F word.
So I
should say it's actually selling pretty well.
That's what I've heard.
And if you want tickets, go to 5854comedy or carlsoncomedy.com. One show only, 7:30 tonight. I'll be featuring. So that's good, right?
I'm suddenly busy.
That's good.
I'll be sitting at a table.
At that point,
a pretzel.
Yeah. At that point, I'll be washing my hair. You know, man, I got to tell you. I'm happy to have you there on the show. I asked you when they asked me to do it. You were my first phone call because you and I, we've done a few rodeos together.
A few. More than a few.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to get to that in a minute.
Frankly, too many.
I have some questions.
Hope you enjoy the last one there, Hank Kingsley.
Cowboy Rodeo.
I have some questions about that. But first of all, I'm going to start with some questions that you sent me.
Well, hold on. Can I ask one just while we're on this topic?
Oh, you go ahead. Go ahead, bro.
So not to jump in, but so what's the this is a big deal show. You've done other big deal shows. What's your biggest big deal show aside from this one? Like, what's the biggest? What in your mind is the biggest thing you've ever done?
You know, so that show we did for Wegmans with Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, that's definitely
that blew my mind. I got hired by Wegmans to be the head writer for a charity event that they did, mm-hmm. and they called and they were just like, "Hey, we're bringing in Alec Baldwin and we want to do a Saturday Night Lifestyle live show."
We weren't allowed to talk about it.
We weren't allowed to talk about it to anybody. We had to keep it completely hush-hush under wraps. And long story short, we wrote a ton of sketches. Every sketch that we submitted to Wegmans, they said, no, we're not going to do this. And we had to write, like, I'm telling you, if I could write bowl of vanilla ice cream down on a piece of paper and submit it, that's what we were doing. It was,
yeah.
We had to dumb down everything so much. I can only imagine what people deal with in network meetings. Mm. But we wrote comedy sketches for Alec Baldwin. He shows up that day. Lovely man. I'm not his daughter, so smelled I get like, along with them fine.
Smelled like Christmas.
They bring me into a room with him, right? And we sit down. Baldwin is sitting across from me, and we have the notes. And he starts flipping through them. He goes, I like this. I like this. I like this. I'm only going to do the one. So I had to replace Alec Baldwin in a bunch of sketches. And
with like 3 hours
notice.
Yeah.
And I was less nervous for that than I am for this.
So gig you did at Wegmans, okay, is the answer.
Yeah,
okay.
It was in the vegetable section.
Sure.
Or the Dave Attell night was pretty good.
Dave Attell was pretty good. But yeah, I mean, that Wegmans thing was big because, I mean, the governor was there. They raised $1 million in the room for Hillside Charities that night. It was something else.
Which made us think we did not ask for enough money.
Why couldn't we just be terrible teenagers? We would have made $1 million.
You know it's a bad meeting when you go in and I presented, Vinny and I are in the car driving there, and I came up with what I thought was an astronomically ridiculous amount of money and willing to take half of that.
$86.
And we walked in. we walk in and we sit down.
Plus expenses.
Plus expenses.
I want a per diem.
We sit down and I give them this astronomical, this huge amount of money and they just go, okay.
Great.
And I was like, God damn it. Like, yeah. It's like I should ask for. And then that night they raised $1.2 million. I was like, oh, that's. I should have asked for a lot more money.
Well, whatever you didn't do went to charity, so that's the difference. Went to charity.
It wasn't about the money for me. It was about, you know.
Okay.
I don't care about the charity.
The money.
It was about the money.
A lot about the money.
All right, let's get into these are questions you sent me. I'm not going to do. How did you get so handsome? Why are you so funny? I'm not doing those questions. I don't know why you even.
You're
sent
in my chair. You do
what
you're
told.
Why
you even sent me those questions? But I know what I really want to know, like, and I don't know this much about you, actually. We don't talk about it much. Like, growing up, like, I know you were in San Diego for a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
What was growing up as Vinny Paulino like?
Terrible. So,
that's why you're funny.
Maybe. I think, you know, one of the things we learned on this show is that most comedians are kind of scarred. But when I was a kid, about 6 years old, we lived in San Diego, had a big, beautiful house, pool. My dad owned like a car lot and he did like wholesale stuff. He made a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And he went to a wedding one night and some people at the wedding got into a fist fight. Mm-hmm. And my dad was kind of the guy who's like, hey, everybody settle down, tried to be the peacemaker and break it up. And one of the guys that was still heated pushed him. And when he pushed him, he tripped backwards over a chair and cracked his head right here in the corner of a table, which caused like a severe traumatic brain injury. Mm-hmm. So we went from a giant house in San Diego, my dad doing very, very well, to the man had to learn to walk and speak again. And
you never told me any of this.
We ended up living in a tiny little apartment, my mom and I, when my dad was like in the hospital for, you know, a good couple of years growing up. So, I mean, it was a real like riches to rags kind of a situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, so, I did not know that.
Yeah, well, there you go.
And how old were you when you moved back here to Rachacha?
We moved back here probably about 6 months after that accident happened because they thought he was going to die. Like, they didn't think he was going to make it or get better. So my mother, you know, was trying to do the right thing and get him back close to his parents and family and everything. They were all up here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we came back up here, packed the bags, left California, and yeah.
Wow. I had no idea all that. You never told me any of that.
Really?
No.
What kind
no,
of friend
I,
are you?
I didn't know your dad had an accident or anything. So,
yeah.
Yeah, and another the very interesting story. So when you were in college.
Yeah.
Which was Florida?
I did go to school in Florida for a little while.
You had an interesting, was it a side gig or was it college that you did?
I worked at a church?
Yeah, the church thing.
Yeah, that was when I was in Florida.
Oh, yeah.
I was working as like a, I guess they call me like a teen pastor.
Yeah,
or
you were like a youth pastor.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think anyone knows that about you.
Yeah. I cared very much about, you know, it was a weird gig for me, but like.
I went through that phase too.
I went to a Christian university. I went to a Christian school.
Yeah.
And I was studying non-for-profit business because, you know, my background, you know, apart from doing comedy, has been working for non-for-profit agencies. Mm-hmm. Over the last like 15 years, I worked for two of them.
Yeah.
But that's what I wanted to do. And I just kind of fell into this job. And I was like, all right. And I did cool stuff with teenagers. We came up with cool things to do and it was neat.
Yeah. I was a Christian camp counselor for two summers.
Wow.
Ross is disgusted.
There's nothing you guys have ever told me that have made me more creeped out.
Yeah. I was like in charge of the youth stuff.
Youth pastor.
We do like lock-ins and like all sorts of stuff. Hang out with the kids. Yeah. Let them do whatever they want to. But you know, we were in Florida.
In a basement and you praise the Lord and you're happy for it. That's how it works.
Was it like when my friend was a phone psychic and she was like, I'm not really a psychic, but I can like hang out and do this job? Or was it that kind of thing? Or was it like, or were you into it? Like, were you like really?
I was into it.
I don't think. Okay, here's the thing, man. You know, I told you about my dad, the situation with my dad. Growing up, my family was very religious, very, very religious. Like, and we're talking the, you know, the tongues, word of faith, like the whole, listen, name it and claim it stuff. They were very much into it. And so I grew up in that environment thinking that was completely normal.
Yeah.
Like that was reality. And I kind of had a weird revelation, so to speak, in 2003 when my dad just died. Because I was like under this like assumption. When you go through years and years of, hey, listen, you just have to believe enough. He's going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine. One day you might wake up and your dad's down there making you a cup of coffee. Like, hey, man, you want to go play golf? Like, that was what was in my head. And then when he died, that all died with it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it was like, sense, yeah. It was, oh. Maybe this isn't exactly accurate.
I think what killed Jesus for me was my first hand job, but that's not as good.
I thought you were going to say, I think what killed your dad was.
Killed my dad was that first hand job.
Cholesterol. What?
I don't know what's going on anymore.
Yeah. So, you're a terrible interview, Brian.
So when
this got really
get
dark.
Back to those questions about me being
dark.
Handsome.
I'm gonna back to the questions. So we'll get back. We'll get into stand-up stuff now. So
talk about whatever you want, Brian.
When did you start stand-up? I know you kind of had a start-stop back again.
Yeah, well, I started before my dad died, actually. Mm-hmm. 2001, I got dared.
Stand-up about Jesus?
No. When I was living down in Texas, I got dared to go do an open mic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on, Vinny, you can do it. Remember it?
It's the Clean Comedy for Christ tour.
Yeah, it was at a bar. It was at a bar that I was too. You know how much money I'd make? You know how much money I'd make? Now, listen.
To our Christian listeners, I apologize. This is only going to go downhill.
God bless you all. I love you. Yeah. I have no like qualms with religion.
Oh,
it's
no,
just
neither
not, it's
I.
just not my thing yeah, at this yeah. point in my yeah. life. It was in a bar. It was in a bar that I was too young to be in. And they were just like, go ahead, whatever. And I did a bit about, at the time, bum fighting was a big deal. Like, they were having those bum fight videos that they were selling.
We've made a bum fight video.
Yeah, we certainly did. We certainly did.
What does Jesus
But,
think?
Yeah, I did a bit about that and whatever. And it was terrible. And I got laughs because I was, like, way better than everybody else that was there. And I was just playing around. So I went back a bunch of times. And I came to Rochester and did it a little bit at Comics Cafe. Mm-hmm. Ralph Tedda was the MC, wow. I remember, in the outside bar. And then my dad died, and I just kind of quit.
Took some time off.
I took about 4.5 years off.
And when we met, I think you had just come back about
a year and change before that.
A year and change before that, yeah. And, yeah. And this is, I know you always joke that I make everything about me. So, but I'm
here
not,
we go.
I'm not going to make this about me, but I'm going to say it leads into an important question. So the very first time we met.
Literally about you, but okay.
The very first time we met was my second night of doing stand-up.
You just right. said my
and,
egg.
And I walked off stage.
I.
I'm going to say I a lot. And your first words to me, are you yep. happy, Ross?
I am.
Were, what the fuck was that? That's the
yeah,
first
sounds
words
right.
you ever said to me. And I said, what do you mean? And you said, well, you were funny last week. That sucked. And I'm like, well, I did new stuff. And you said, what the fuck are you doing, dummy? That's not what you do.
Sounds about right.
That was your first like words to me. It's like, no, you got to work on that 5 minutes. Do you still feel that way? Like that's the way to get started is just work on that first five and focus laser beam on that and not worry about anything else. Or over the last decade, has your opinion changed on that?
My opinion is exactly the same place. Mm-hmm. And I had a conversation with a kid at Boulder Coffee the other night about this. And he was going, mm-hmm. you know, I'm trying to do new material every time I go up. And I looked at him and I was like, idiot. You don't know how to be a comic yet.
Yeah.
I guess my opinion on it is when you're first starting, you have to figure out, like, you don't understand the business. You don't understand how you get better. You don't understand anything. All you know is that you're doing. Mm-hmm. And when you see people doing the same thing over and over again at open mics, you tend to tune it out. And you don't want to be that person because this is all new and exciting to you.
Yeah.
So you start to challenge yourself. I'm going to do this. And to be honest with you, maybe you'll write a couple of good jokes, but you don't even know how to really write a joke yet.
Yeah.
You're just on stage the first time.
Yeah.
So my thing is, what is going to make you better up front? How do you get anyone to pay attention to you in this business? And the first step is guest spots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this club, we do guest spots all the time for people. We give them a 5-minute spot on a main night. And that 5 minutes, whether you sink or swim, is going to be the first impression professional bookers have of you. So my advice is, if you're honed in on that when you start, whether it takes you, you know, 6 months, whether it takes you a year to get a good 5 minutes, it's worth the investment because you're not going to be written off when you do get in front of, you know, yeah. people in the business.
So you would say, like, use that open mic less for purely amusing the crowd that's there at the open mic, but use it for your own development.
I don't think they're mutually exclusive, Ross.
All right.
I think that you can do both things. I feel like there's no jokes ever finished. So, like, there's always
no.
stuff you could polish. So, like, if you're working on that 5 minutes and you write something else that you think is good, okay, figure out what joke is going to be strong, open with it, do your little new thing, see how it goes, and then work on the other jokes that you're really trying to get good at telling. And, you know, I don't want people to be robots. Nobody wants to book a robot. But when you're first starting, getting towards that first good 5 minutes is going to boost your confidence quite a bit. It's going to improve your stage presence because you know what you're doing a little bit more, because you know where you're going and you've learned how to, you know, keep track of your own set in your head. That's just my opinion. I think that, and people who matter that can get you actual work in the business will appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely. They want to see polished.
Yeah.
You know, that's, they don't want to see that, oh, he can write 5 jokes a week. Nobody gives a rat's ass.
And here's
that.
The thing. I feel like the more you're in comedy, the more liberties you get to have. So, like, you could go in and write new jokes and try out new jokes and stuff like that. But at first, you got to just get that 5 minutes under your belt.
Yeah, definitely. And you have to keep working on that old stuff. Like,
and you know, dude, I'm really proud of you. I think you're going to get it one of these days.
One of these days.
You're going to get it, Brian.
No, but I was going to say, it's like I went to an open mic on Tuesday night to do 2 really old jokes that I haven't done in 2 or 3 years because I want to do them tonight. You just have to have them come out of your mouth again to make sure that you remember, you know, what they were. I wasn't doing anything new. It was just trying to remember that stuff.
Right.
And
you're just going to screw yourself up. You're just never going to get polished because you're constantly doing new stuff and you never learned how to polish anything.
Yeah. We got one question from Dave V. I assume this is Dave Bacco.
Why
don't you have a better co-host yet? That's not nice.
Ross is great.
This is such a terrible thing to say to Ross. It's such
great.
A mean thing to say to Ross. I don't know why you would say
that. You ruined that joke, Brian.
He's mad because we
said get out from behind my chair. Ross should be back there.
So one other thing I wanted to talk about today, and this
stunning 5-minute interview.
Three of us. No. Well, there's more, but the rest of it gets silly after this.
It was better when it was
this is a serious thing.
It was good when it was disturbing, but yeah.
Hallelujah.
The three of us were part of something I think all three of us are pretty proud of. One of the other things you created. It's one thing that a lot of people know about Vinny. You've created a whole lot of stuff. Like you, you've done a lot of like just built from the ground up several things.
Yes.
And
I'm a builder.
And we'll talk about after this that what motivates you to do that. But one thing that all three of us were part of was the Rochester show. Let's talk a bit about the Rochester show.
What do you want to know about the Rochester show? You were there.
That was a blast.
I'm still trying to get that scrubbed from YouTube.
Good luck.
It's still on YouTube. Just
I'll never
Google,
be president.
Just search on the tubes of you, the Rochester show, and you'll find lots of our stupidity on there.
It's probably still running. It was running like 24 hours a day.
It probably is still running.
on like channel 46.
My Rochester TV, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So
how did that start?
Okay. I was playing a club called the Joke Factory.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy from My 18 TV in Rochester, which is a very small station, hi Gary, mm-hmm. hi DJ, they are the only locally owned cable channel in Rochester, and they had precisely zero locally produced television.
And $0.
And $0 to produce any television. Full disclosure. So I was doing a podcast called Shoot to Thrill at the time, and it was mm-hmm. It was me and a bunch of buddies. I was doing it out of my attic. And we were doing all right. I mean, we were one of the first kind of talky comic podcasts. We started that in like 2012.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we were really, you know, kind of when podcasts were starting, when we were doing all right. And I really enjoyed doing it. We developed ROC Podcasts, which is a local podcast network. We did that. And I had all these things going. And I did a show, Killed. Mm-hmm. And this guy from the TV station came up to me after and says, hey, you're really funny. Have you ever thought about doing any TV? And I'm like, oh my gosh, the Tonight Show. They found me at the Joke Factory. No, Fatso. You're going to Brighton Henrietta Townline Road.
Yeah. No, that was not Spielberg that came up to you.
No, it was not.
No, it was
imagine
not,
your name in Standard Def.
It wasn't Brandon Tartikoff.
Standard Def.
We were Standard Def. We were totally Standard Def. I had to do two renderings of the show every week. We had to do an HD one for the internet, and then a standard definition.
Yeah, we looked better on the internet.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I don't know about that. I'm gonna get a little too. So they just said, "Do you want to do something?" And I said, "Well, I've never really thought about doing a TV show before." And they said, "Well, what else do you do?" And I go, "I got a podcast." And I go, "Well, you could put that on TV." And I'm like, "No, you've never heard the podcast. I cannot put that on TV."
Yeah.
And through that connection, they gave us space and they said, figure it out. And I,
that
you know,
hot basement.
Yeah. We were on the bottom floor. We had like a 2-room suite, and one of the rooms was just filled with VHS tapes from like floor to ceiling of like commercials that this station still runs, because that's like how ahead of the times they were.
Yeah.
We're like, to get to our control panel was literally, we had like a bookshelf, like the ones behind you over there, Bri,
yeah,
that we took off one of the top shelves and put a computer on it and like tried to set up as that. I mean, we had improvised everything in that mm-hmm. show. I financed our equipment. I paid for everything. And we set up a 4-camera shoot inside of there. And I tried to find the funniest comics and the funniest people I could find, and you, in Rochester to come and be on the show. And it was a really wild experience, because they let me do whatever I wanted, as you well know.
Oh yeah, I mean,
and we indulged.
We did some weird ass shit on that
show. And because they had so little content, they had like the offshoot channels, you know, like the 46.3 or whatever, where it ran like 24/7. Might still be running.
One
for
of the
know.
Most. I'm proud of what we did on the show, but it wasn't something that I think any of we'd want our parents to see.
No.
So like, I was proud of the show, but I remember sitting one time in the emergency room with my mother. And I heard my voice, and I turned around, and it was on the television, like in the emergency room.
And I was like, aren't these people sick enough? Yeah. Are we really doing this to them?
I was like, oh my God. And then I came in, and then my mother stayed overnight. I came in the next morning to pick her up, and it's on her TV in her hospital room. And she
just
said,
tell her it was a fever dream.
No, you know what she said? This was her review of the show. I watched your show. That was it.
So I used to always laugh whenever I would get recognized for that show.
Oh yeah, it's funny.
Like one lady,
the demo you get is really weird.
Yeah, and she goes, "Hey, Channel 18," and I go, "Oh yeah." I go, she goes, "I watched your show," and I go, "Oh yeah, did you like it?" And then she just went and walked away. That was in a Wegmans.
That's my favorite review.
My favorite one was, I was at the in the drive-thru at Wendy's, and I asked for barbecue sauce, and the guy said, "What's your name?" And I said, "Why the fuck do you need my name for barbecue sauce?" And he goes, no, I know you from television. And I was like, oh, Brian Ball. Oh, yeah, I like your show.
See, like, I would so always get weird. People acknowledging it. They'd be like, aren't you on that show? And then they'd like walk away. I mean, it was never like there was never any.
Yeah, I mean, what a great great legacy to leave.
No, I know. But we did a lot of really.
You know what the coolest thing?
Some of those sketches are pretty awesome, though.
So one of the things that made me the proudest of that show was there was a year where we had produced Mike Barry and myself spent the time and we had a brand new episode Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
Every night of the week, we had a new show. There was a new episode of The Rochester Show. It was the hardest I've ever worked in my life
on
anything.
Yeah, that was when we were doing like four-hour tapings and then cutting it
out. We were doing a Saturday morning taping, and we were doing a Tuesday night taping for the entire week, and it was just so much work. But yeah. I really enjoyed it. And, the people that came and were a part of it were awesome. And we had a lot of people come and go because it was just a weird thing. But to me, it was so cool to have so many people collaborating, and we had this vehicle that we could do anything with, and we took advantage of that. So,
well, and some names that are still out there in Rochester comedy are almost I wouldn't say got their start there, but some names that have sort of taken off, you know.
I would say that.
And there's some people who, you know, there's people like Kevin Reynolds, who is my best friend in the world, who's not a comic, who's not anything, but was great on that show.
Oh, he was amazing.
So, like, it was really cool to be able to, like, create something out of nothing. And really put together like a show with its own little universe. It was fun.
And we did story continuity, and that was my big thing. I was always bitching about continuity, and you guys would all get mad at me. And I was like, no, that's not what we did last week. We have to do it this way this week. And
yeah, well, we were the worst. It was like TNA, basically.
It was kind of, yeah.
That's a wrestling mark thing. Here we go. All right, what else you got?
But so my question follow on to that is but the Rochester Show, ROC podcast, the show, all this stuff that, like, a lot of times you do things and you'll call me up and say, hey, I'm doing this new project. And I'm just like, why the hell are you doing that? Like, you have a motivation to just keep building new little empires.
I don't build empires.
Well, but you know what I
mean.
What
empire, Brian?
But I mean, you know what I mean, though. These new little projects that you do all the time. Like, what motivates you to just keep doing that? Is it boredom? Is it that you're driven? Is it don't want to spend more time with your wife? Like, what is it that keeps you doing all this?
I'm going to back up Brian on this for a second because it does look exhausting. Your stuff looks exhausting.
Exactly.
Your life looks exhausting to me. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it, Ross. Yeah.
It's not as hectic as you think it is because over time I've learned how to do things better and whatever. There's systems and processes. But to ask me why I do it, I don't know. I don't. I just do. I've had opportunities, and that's the thing, Brian. I'm a big believer in when you have an opportunity, either you do it all out or you don't. Mm-hmm. And I like broadcasting. I say what you want if I'm a great broadcaster or whatever, but like this show, for example. We were doing the Rochester show, and Mark came and said, hey, why don't you come do something with us?
Yeah.
And my brain started going, and I'm like, man, what an amazing opportunity.
Turned out to be perfect timing.
Yeah, no fooling. Oh, Shoeless Joe. Come sit next to me, Shoeless Joe. I want to thank this kid. He's the greatest. I love him. Ew.
Yeah.
Go.
Yeah, you can go.
Thank you for the coffee. I just feel like if you're not doing something or going forward, then you're standing still. And, you know, when it comes to comedy, that's my favorite thing in the world. Stand-up comedy is the most wonderful, purest thing in the world to me. Mm-hmm. And so all those years that I spent putting together the Rochester show, all those years I spent podcasting and learning how things work, let me do what I do now. And those are all opportunities that built experience. And if I didn't have the experience, I wouldn't have had the opportunities. So that's the way I look at it, is always try to be better. Always keep trying to improve. And that means work.
Yeah.
Don't make me quote Cody Rhodes at you. Do the work.
And you do have a good eye for like bringing a bunch of weirdos together that you never think would work together, and they wind up working together.
I mean, Ross isn't even allowed inside of like, you know, Target stores anymore. And, you know.
There's signs and everything.
Not after the incident with the She-Ra toys. Yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't have to brush all their hair.
I did.
So another.
Need to be conditioned.
Another follow-on question to that: would you consider yourself more a producer or a comedian?
I hope the answer is comedian.
Yeah.
I hope the answer is comedian. I love producing stuff, but man, stand-up's my baby.
Yeah. Yeah, I know you and I both feel the same way about this. We've talked about it, but
don't lump yourself in with
that. That's the only time I feel calm, you know, is when I'm on stage, like, because I can't think about anything else.
See, and that's what I don't understand about you. And I know you're never going to get your day on the couch, but I just want to
I'm going to.
Okay. You're allowed to sit on it when the cameras are off.
It's next week. I've already
you can come in after
hours. I don't understand that about you. I don't understand how you stay so calm on stage. My brain is a million miles an hour when I'm standing up there.
I don't have time to think about anything else other than the next joke.
I tell people all the time, read Steve Martin's book, Born Standing Up. The very first paragraph in that book is so brilliant because it sums it up so well. It's like, you know, standing on stage, thinking about what you're going to say next while processing what you're saying at the same time, while monitoring the audience's faces and looking for more opportunities. Yeah. There's so much that goes on during a set. I don't know how you have time to be calm.
Oh, because I can't think about anything else going on in my life.
All right.
Well. That's just my only focus. That's one moment in my life where I'm laser focused on something.
Right.
It's meditation for me.
Most people can't imagine Brian's sorrow.
Solid point.
Yeah.
He'll tell you about it if you give him time. Trust me.
I can't think about family, my mother, anything like that. I'm just focused on the next joke and what the hell's that guy doing. And it's just very calming.
All I do is think about your mother while I perform. Hey now.
Hey.
She stared at you one time when you were asleep at 2 o'clock in the morning.
True story. Creep me out.
Oh my god.
We need to do one road story.
Which one?
Because we've been on the road together a whole lot.
Okay.
We were in Daytona Beach, Florida.
True story.
And
we
had a whole week. We had a whole weekend there. Vinny is on stage. I'm at the bar.
Might want to get film on this
was
show.
Was that the night I really blew my time? That
probably.
I went way over.
I mean, you
there
usually
was one,
blow.
There
it.
Was one night I went way over. And anyway, I'm sitting at the bar. I'm having a drink. I'm half listening. And I hear a ripping sound, like fabric tearing audibly from the back of the room. And it's not a small room. And I heard it, and I turn around, and Vinny just pops up.
Vinny has torn his pants off.
White face. Just, and then he did this bit where you talk about squatting behind home plate or something.
Yeah.
When you were a fat kid. And
being the catcher.
Yeah, being
the catcher. What do you call it? Crisscross applesauce.
He squatted down, and his pants ripped. Horribly, and he actually called up somebody from the front row and said, "Hey man, you look trustworthy. Come up here and take a look and tell me how bad this is." And the guy comes up on stage and walks around and looks at his ass and goes, "Oh man, it's pretty bad."
Yeah, and, I saw 20 minutes left,
and it was pretty bad. I think it was like a 6-inch by 6-inch L, like around the pocket of your pants that had
so
torn off.
Ross, let me tell you what happened, pal. All
right,
your boy Vinny. Was headlining this club.
Sure.
I was so excited.
Like you do.
I went out and bought a pair of new jeans.
Right.
New stuff. And I left them in New York. So an hour before the first show, I realize as I'm unpacking, I don't have any jeans with me. All I have is shorts.
Brand new fancy Wranglers are in New York.
Strong scenes.
I mean, what are you going to do with that?
What are you going to do?
So I ran across, there was like a Florida Marshalls or something. I don't know what the name of the place was.
Some outlet kind of thing.
Bojangles. I don't know what it was.
Nothing with any labels on it.
Right. So I go in there and I find a pair of jeans that fit me. There's not a label on them. They could have made them in the back, Ross.
And how much were they?
$14.
And you got about $7 for them.
You think surely these pants are good for at least a night.
I thought I could get through a weekend with them.
Right, yeah.
When you buy them in a place that sounds like a Tommy Lee Jones movie.
Right.
But to your credit, by the end of the night, women were shoving 20s in your ripped ass.
Oh, yeah, that's true. There's pictures.
Yeah.
I just stand there and people were dumping... What? Money down the back of my ripped pants.
How did that happen? How do you get start?
He saw the guy told him how bad it was, and he was wearing decent boxers, so he wasn't ashamed. So he just turned around and showed everybody.
Did you do a sexy dance?
And it was drunk Florida people.
Yeah,
so they
were just like, hey!
They saw a hole. They started putting money in it. That's
yeah.
what Florida people are.
Yeah, that might be the most interesting thing that I've ever seen on stage, and I didn't know what to do after that, and I just played it up for about a couple minutes. I was like, all right, well, you know, I'm going to be up here a while, so let's just start doing more jokes. And I finished my act with ripped pants, and then came off the stage and went to the bar and sat there with ripped pants and just hung out. People came over and just started putting money in them.
That was during the height of the Game of Thrones thing, and we were driving home, and I just said it like I was 90.
Yeah,
it was
so,
the height of Game of Thrones, and so on the way home, I kept saying, like, why does the fat man rip his pants?
Good story, Bri. I
just remember the bartenders asking me why I was laughing so hard at the fact that you rip your pants. And I said, you have no idea, dude. I have to spend 19 hours in the car with this guy. This is the best thing that's ever happened to me.
That's flawless comedy, though. Like, if you're telling a story about being a fat kid squatting your pants and your pants ripped, that's
meta, baby. That's meta.
I remember you saying that. Now you're like, I wish I could replicate it.
I know. It's like, I really wish
you need
I could
rake something.
Gimmick
like
pants.
Yeah. Oh, look, my pants ripped.
Hold on.
Oh, no.
Whoever would have thought?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
That was fun.
So now we're going to get into the silly questions.
All right. Way to announce it.
This is a text question, but I think it's from the staff here because we talked before about what we wanted to ask you. And we all came up with a question. When did you give up, like, with your health?
What are you talking about? Where was I
yesterday? I run every day.
Where was I yesterday when you called me?
You were actually on a treadmill.
Correct.
I will testify to that.
Wasn't on, but I was standing on it. No, I
eating,
you know,
my nachos Bill Grande.
You breathed heavy and everything, though. You played it up like you were actually
doing. No, I
I was walking.
I was standing in place.
I didn't give up on my health. All of you go kiss off.
No, you actually have. You have made great strides.
I will
in that,
fight
really,
all
so.
Of you.
No,
you've got.
I actually will take a moment to sincerely applaud you for it. You have done a very good job.
And
enjoy
got,
your time
your
in that chair.
As we've established, he's got tremendous energy.
What did you do to piss off gravity?
I fall down a lot.
Are these all fat questions?
No, the gravity is just because he falls down a lot.
I do. I fall down a lot. My pants are up. Thank you, Brian. Good job.
I've had two questions and, or two phone calls with you end with, like you yelling and dropping the phone. Like
I wish there was recordings of one of them. Yeah. Just, I was like, hey, man, I gotta go!
he's going, he goes, he's talking to me, and he goes, well, I'll talk to you, rah, rah! And then I hear from a distance the phone, like, obviously he's thrown it. And it was snowy out, and he had slid on a snowbank and wound up underneath his car. And I hear from a distance, I'll call you back, I'm under the car!
And, folks, I didn't call him back.
Yep. From obviously 3 to 4 feet
to this
away.
Day.
But I'll wrap this up with a sincere compliment. And
that's the only questions you have for me?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Yeah, we've been going at this for like half an hour now.
This has been a long time.
Yeah.
It's a long ass time.
I think that's enough.
I'm totally with it.
I think it's enough.
We probably could have been done before you did the whole falling down thing.
Yeah. No, that needed to be said. The world needed to know.
That was a funny story.
Yeah. I will sincerely say you've been doing stand-up a bit longer than me. So I hope this doesn't seem condescending, but I think this goes for everybody in the room. I'm proud of you.
Thanks, pal. Appreciate it.
Very, very, very happy that you're going to do this tonight.
Thank you, guys. Thank you very much. I hope people understand, like, it means a lot to headline this room.
Yeah, because it's this room.
And
this is home.
I got to be honest with you. We've been at this club for 2 years. I've never asked, never thought I would have, like, it would be like, hey, go for it. And it's like it's an honor and it's humbling and I'm terrified. Like I told you guys, you know, I'm legit nervous for tonight. So I've been going crazy, going through material, writing new stuff, polishing stuff, trying to get ready for this. So just know that if you do come to the show tonight, your boy Vinny is putting in an extra effort.
Yeah. Maximum effort.
Maximum effort.
And if his pants rip, it's entirely spontaneous.
It is not rigged.
Entirely spontaneous.
It is not a pulley system.
An elaborate.
Ooh, a pulley system.
It's not Ross standing backstage with ropes. Ripping out the bottom of your pants.
If you want tickets, call 5854-COMEDY or visit carlsonatthecomedy.com. And Mark, you know, my schedule is wide open.
We know.
I'm just saying.
And it'll stay that way. That's
actually
what we like about you.
I'm just saying.
Available Brian Ball, ladies and gentlemen.
That used to always be my joke, is the always available Brian Ball.
I'm actually spotlighting tomorrow night, so I don't know if you can come.
Spotlighting?
Is that a thing?
Is that what they call it in
like the Michael Keaton movie?
Yeah.
Is that something that happens in a car park?
Yeah, Yep.
Oh.
So I will be in the, I will be in the parking lot. All
right. So I guess under the
spotlight.
So before Ross says something that makes this get banned by YouTube, we'll end it on that. Thank you very much, Vinny, for coming to your own show.
Adequate job, Brian.
You're amazing.
We're gonna switch everybody back, and we're gonna do the news with Ross, yeah, right?
Really awkward.
Yeah, we'll be back right after the news.
All right. Well, then, do it.
Thank you for being awesome and watching another episode of the Carlson Cast. Don't forget we're streaming live on Facebook and YouTube every Friday morning. You could also follow us on social media on Twitter and Instagram at CarlsonCast. You can listen anytime on iTunes, Google Play, and we're now available on Spotify. You should also check out an amazing app called Laughable. And on the Laughable app, you can connect to your favorite comedians in a way you never thought you could before. Download it in the App Store and visit CarlsonCast.com for information on more shows. And don't be a jerk. Rate and review.
Bojangles, or what'd you say?
All right. That was weird.
That was a quick switch.
Now all is right with the world. Ross, it's time for the news with you.
I feel like we already said goodbye. So I don't know what we're still doing here. Hi. Welcome to the news.
What's going on in the world of comedy?
Okay. So nothing too tragic this week, although a couple dead people. So I guess.
Oh, wow.
You know.
Ross is getting desensitized.
Just a 1,000 comedians were killed this week. Patrice O'Neill, who is dead.
Again?
I keep trying to find stories that don't involve dead people, but it was a slow week. So he died in 2011, of course, at the age of 41, but he's going to be the subject, according to The Root, of a brand new documentary in the works at Comedy Central. It's teaming up with Bill Burr and All Things Comedy to produce an in-depth documentary about the comedian's life and career. He'll begin filming this fall, has the involvement of his fiance, director, friends, etc., other comedians, so that should be interesting, I think.
I was thinking about Patrice the other day, and the thing that stood out to me is the legacy of this guy. It's legit the legacy. How often in your lives do you get to see the rise and fall, and like fall of someone who is like a legend? Yeah. And this is just part of it, man. This is going to be one of many documentaries they're going to do about Patrice.
It seems like 2011. I mean, it seems like not that long ago, does it not? Like, does that not? I mean, does it not seem like he passed away more recently? I guess it's just we hear so much about
the
him.
Webster Club, Mark's old club, maybe a month or so before he died.
Yeah, it was really close.
Very close.
Okay.
Either way, I mean, he's one of those guys who's legendarily beloved by other comics, a comic's comic, but also, you know, he had a huge following. And this might sound like kind of sassy, but I wonder how history's going to look at his actual act.
Well,
we'll see.
How's history going to look at anybody's act, you know?
Good point.
Yeah.
Looking forward to your spotlight tomorrow.
We're gonna talk more about that later.
I'll be in the back parking lot.
I'll be there. I'm just curious as to what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Cam, I suspected you were curious. You're gonna enjoy this then. We've got a good time planned for you. So, just this weekend. So, if you're watching the show live on Friday, this Sunday, Dave Chappelle is going to receive the Mark Twain Prize for American Humor, which, of course, is an award presented by the John F. Kennedy Center for Performing Arts. They've done it since 1998. The line of performers is going to include Yacine Bey, Neil Brennan, Common's going to be there, Bradley Cooper, Morgan Freeman, Tiffany Haddish, John Legend, a whole bunch of other people, Lorne Michaels, a ton of people. So, they make it a whole big thing.
Not invited.
Q-Tip. Q-Tip is invited.
Q-Tip got invited and I didn't.
Q-Tip got invited.
Could you say that one more time for me, Rob?
Q-Tip. There we
go. I believe that Mark Twain probably would have loved Dave Chappelle.
I think they would have gotten along fine.
I got to wonder, in a world like in 2019, if you were going to take Mark Twain and slap him in 2019, would he ever have been famous?
I bet he would have. I think he's got all
that. With a million Twitter handles out there, with a million Twitter accounts.
Well, I mean, you have
with
to
all his social media. I mean, would his brilliance be drowned out by nonsense?
He would have to censor his work a little bit.
Yeah, you'd have to stop saying the N-word so much. But other than that,
hey, listen, Dave Chappelle got his award, so it makes sense.
Absolutely. Both finally,
the N-word.
Again, slow news week, but good news. Mixed news, but good news for Kevin Hart. This is according to BET Entertainment Tonight. He's taking 2019 off. Mm-hmm. He had a big accident, so that, you know, makes sense. But they sort of officially announced, like, he won't be doing anything in 2019, which is not that long in the year. So considering the accident he had, that's not too bad. Planning some things for 2020, not quite announced, but working on it. But he was seen stepping out this past week. So this is a little update with his, you know, his good friends, like,
I'm just gonna Jay-Z say this guy looks like Jay-Z in costume.
It's Jay-Z. It's Jay-Z. So that Kevin is Hart Kevin Hart's the one in the hoodie. And then, yeah, the Jay-Z in the costume is just Jay-Z.
What's he doing wearing an LA hat?
The guy in the Jay-Z costume.
That looks like Jay-Z in an Eazy-E costume.
It's Halloween. I love,
Jay-Z's my favorite. Jay-Z's my favorite just because, like, old people will talk about rap. Like, old people, you know, it's a rap music with the kids. I'm like, yeah. Have you seen this? Have you seen your dad? Like, one of the prototypical rappers.
Yeah.
It's like, this guy's just your dad. Like, he's clearly just your dad. So, probably not. I mean, if you're complaining about rap, you're probably
I wish Jay-Z
so
was
dad.
My dad.
Right? I know.
I'd be rich.
Yeah.
Beyonce
would be my
like,
mom.
It's amazing. Beyonce's aging like wine. He's aging like a pumpkin.
You know what?
There comes Cam swinging.
So anyway, this isn't all about Jay-Z, of course. This
that
is about
really
Kevin Hart.
Is the oh, he looks awful in that picture.
Yeah,
he's not like he's,
all that money.
He's not. You know what? He's not worried about it. I think is what it is. He's not thinking what it is with Jay-Z.
I've worked hard.
Yeah,
he just can't be bothered.
Exactly. So they were, you know, just a couple of buddies,
cool.
Just common people hanging out.
I'm glad he's doing better.
Yep. Wow, slow news week indeed.
Very slow news
week.
Now
at TMZ.
That's it. Look, that's it. That's all we got. There's
Ladies
nothing else happening this week.
Ladies and gentlemen, this just in: Kevin Hart is still alive. Thanks, Ross.
He was hanging out with Jay-Z. That's the thing. That's an update.
But
this
is a new story from
that's
Ross.
Literally
so
all the
from
news.
3 weeks ago.
My
so
favorite
we have
part
no
about
idea
this is how many times.
That's current.
How many times he said, "Step it out." In this segment, it's kind of silly.
Cam, I'll see you under the spotlight. That's all the news we got.
See you, Ross.
So don't forget,
the spotlight is his
Michelle Wolf is tomorrow night. There's a few tickets left for her. I'm here tonight. If you show up, I'll love you forever. If not, you're dead to me. That's been this week's episode of the Carlson Cast. Thank you for helping us get to 100 episodes. It means a lot. So make sure you rate and review, and we will see you next week. Thank you. Act right.